Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
Did you know that 2 in 5 Americans want to start a new business or are business owners? Well, we have lots of information to help them too.
And we also talk a little about the intellectual property that helps them flourish.
So Neil K. Shaw has Care Ya Ya. And for all of us getting a little older, like, we are so into this. So welcome, Neil. Tell us about what you're doing.
We are building the Uber of caregiving. We connect people who need help at home, whether they're caring for a spouse or an aging parent who just kind of wants to stay independent, you know, to your point, wants to age in place and doesn't want to go live in a facility. We connect them with great caregivers through our online app. And best of all, the caregivers are all college students who want to go into the healthcare field. So people who are pre-med, nursing, pre-physician assistant, et cetera. We're about 2.5 years old, started the startup out of deeply personal experiences in caregiving and realized how broken the home care market is. And I think, you know, society needs better caregiving solutions, but pleased to say we've grown very fast. We now have over 25,000 students across the country at over 30 universities. And it's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool because families are getting affordable, convenient care from people that they really can rely on. Students are getting a great experience of interacting with older adults in their community and are kind of helping people. And I think the best part of the whole thing is just a lot of intergenerational relationships are forming around the country that, you know, without us, you know, when was the last time a 20-year-old college student interacted with somebody above 60, you know, besides their own grandparents, you know, probably minimal. So we're like really changing the way society thinks about aging, which is really cool.
That's excellent. Where are you located?
We started out of the Research Triangle Park in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. So our first universities were Duke University and UNC Chapel Hill. And then we're kind of spread out all over the place. So we are in your area, the New York, New Jersey area. We're at several schools there. We're all over California, parts of Florida, Texas. It's growing all over the country.
So will Medicare cover this cost of having a caregiver, or is it out of pocket from families?
Great question. Believe it or not, Medicare currently does not cover any home-based care besides just brief recovery from surgery. I think that's one of the biggest challenges of our time. And I think in the next few years, Medicare is going to have to change its policy. Medicare disproportionately currently covers facility-based care. So if you kind of move into it, and this is why I think many families put somebody into an assisted living facility or a nursing home, because Medicare will partially pay for that. But if you take care of somebody in your home, at the way it is currently today in the U.S., it's all on you. It's all out of pocket. So one of our biggest innovations, and I think the reason we're growing so fast, is the traditional home care agency industry, which is out-of-pocket care, charges, let's say in the New York, New Jersey area, $35 to $45 an hour to get you a caregiver. And then the business model is they turn around and pay less than half of that money to the caregiver. And all the rest is sales, marketing, administrative overhead, you know, because these are very localized companies running with like franchise or franchisee relations. So something like Care Ya Ya comes in and we say, not only will we get you better than typical caregivers, right? Because these are highly educated people. Compared to in the traditional care industry, most people don't have even, you know, high school degree, let alone any college attendance. But on top of that, we have done a business model innovation on cost. So our service is running at around $20 an hour, which is 30 to 40% lower cost than traditional care. And that's really expanding access to a lot of people. Currently, the cost of home care in America for a traditional, you know, just a family taking care of a spouse or a mom and dad 40 hours a week is pushing $70,000 a year out of pocket. Can you imagine? Like, most people can't afford that. So Care Ya Ya is delivering that at like almost 40% lower cost. And I think that's why it's like spreading fast, because a lot of families are struggling with how they pay for care for a loved one.
Your prospects for continued growth sound like they're pretty good. Can you talk about the aging population, the senior population in the United States and how it's changing?
Yeah, it's growing very rapidly. You know, by 2030, here's an interesting statistic. We're going to have more people above 65 than below 18. First time in recorded history. You know, the population, you know, if you think about the population, it used to be like this, right? Pyramid, a lot of young people. Then over time, you know, due to life expectancy and, you know, medicine, et cetera, X amount of people make it to middle age. And then X amount of people, if they're lucky enough, make it to 70, 80, et cetera. Now it's more like this. With advances in longevity, advances in science, healthcare, even food access, there are a ton of people living longer. And then interestingly, the birth rates are down over the last like decades. So you have a, instead of a pyramid, it's just almost a flat, which is great, you know, for society and progress, but it creates a real challenge of who takes care of the older people. You know, if you have one older person for every 10 younger people, then certainly you can take care of them. But if it's now getting closer to one-to-one, I think you're going to have a challenge. And I think it creates opportunity, but it also creates a societal stress, as we're seeing right now with like widespread caregiver shortages. A lot of older people can't get the help they need. It's not affordable. We collaborate a lot with AARP, you know, the Association for Retired Persons. And one of their interesting statistics they have is for decades, there were 7 middle-aged people in America for every one person that was above 70. And this decade, that ratio collapses to 3-to-1. So there's just a very large cohort of baby boomers. And then after the baby boom, there was a baby bust. So, you know, 1945 and 1960, there were very high birth rates across the world, you know, after the end of World War II. But 1960 onwards, there were very low birth rates for a while. And then in the last 20 years, there's been very low birth rates. So you just, I think you have a shortage of workforce to take care of older adults. And I think it demands innovations.
Well, what kinds of innovations are you thinking about?
Huge innovation. So we started first, Gary, with workforce innovation. You know, we realized that, okay, we need to get new people into the caregiving industry because the traditional caregiver in America is a 45 or 50 year old person that's doing this as a career, which is great. You know, wonderful that there's people doing that, but it's going in the wrong direction. A lot of people are burning out of the industry. No one wants to do the work anymore. COVID, I think, was very difficult on people. So it burned a lot of people out of care and healthcare related work, and the industry struggling to attract new people. So we thought, okay, there's a younger generation of today's students who want to go into healthcare careers, and we can empower them through a gig economy app to care for people in their community. So we did workforce first. I still think even if we succeed at great scale, where right now we have 25,000 students, I think if we can maximize our opportunity, we can get 800,000 to 1 million college students in the country on this, you know, but that's going to take a lot of work, but it's possible, right? We have 20 million college students all over our country. So if we get 1 million of them, it'd be 5% share, but that still won't be enough. By 2030, there's projected to be a 5 million workforce shortage for care workers for our aging population. And I think that the solve is going to be technology. And that's kind of our phase two. We are going to need people to develop health monitoring solutions through tech. We're going to have to leverage AI to develop companion related solutions. We're going to have to do something with robotics. I mean, I think they're doing a lot of cool stuff in Japan.
Yeah, that's what I thought of. I want a robot.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's like people may not want or they may want, but it might just be a necessity. You know, unless you have enough people to help with this stuff, it's better than nothing. And I think that there's great health consequences when you don't have the help, you know. If you need somebody to help you eat, to help you make meals, to help you, you know, just with mobility, to walk to your bathroom or walk outside, you know, you need help and there just aren't enough people to do it.
John, do you have any questions or comments?
I like the model that Neil presented to us, where obviously finding the workforce that can help with that, that is affordable or that have the need, and to that niche is very interesting, I believe, and has certainly potential. I like what Neil's company is doing, and I can understand that it has grown so rapidly.
I agree. Neil, what are your plans for marketing? How are you going to get the word out about this?
We are doing a lot of kind of grassroots awareness. I think one of the competitive advantages or opportunities to build within the caregiving industry is that the industry over relies on advertising, kind of paid ads, and tons of local salespeople. And we thought there was just an open field here through social media and the way media is changing, that we as a small startup within 2.5 years have now built the largest social media following in the entire industry. And this is like a $200 billion industry, right? And we're a relatively small startup where we now have huge influence over LinkedIn. That's our biggest platform. We also have Instagram, Facebook, and then, you know, kind of our own podcasts and other. So that's been a key number one, because with a thin to no marketing budget, we can build that and we can have widespread reach where a lot of people are aware of it. And then as people are aware of it this way, and then they book, this is a massive cost advantage over our competitors. Our competitors are spending $1,000 per customer to acquire. We are spending less than 20. Game over for the industry, right? If you can scale that. So I think that's a powerful tool. And our industry is so stodgy, where elder care in America is a multi-hundred billion dollar industry that doesn't innovate. Yeah, so they're relying on the practices that they were doing in 1980s and 1990s, and they're not thinking about this stuff.
That is really forward thinking. A podcast is really a part of your overall digital marketing strategy.
Yes, and it's really community-based marketing, where we don't want to reach everyone, but the family caregivers of America feel really isolated and alone. And there was a gap in podcast to inform and educate them about the journey they're about to go through. So it's our podcast isn't, you know, the most listened to, you know, because we don't have a broader audience. But the people who listen love it and find such valuable information. And then they tell their friends. So it's really kind of community-based marketing where you're building a community and focusing on a niche.
What is your most followed social media? Which platform were you the most successful on?
LinkedIn, by far.
Okay.
Yeah, we are like very, because there's a huge middle-aged professional audience on there. And that audience is often taking care of aging parents and looking for kind of tips. And then Instagram is probably our second most. But I'd say we've far and away found a big advantage on LinkedIn because it's been under leveraged by other entrepreneurs, especially in our industry. Like the aging and caregiving industry, given how large it is like fairly antiquated in how it operates. So a lot of people still use paid Facebook ads and paid Google search as their primary marketing channels. Very few have content creation. Certainly some of them have been using Facebook as content creation. Very few are focusing on Instagram, and then almost no one's been focusing on LinkedIn. So in our industry, these are big advantages. Yeah.
Neil K. Shaw has CareYaya, which helps older people stay in their homes and get quality care.
Definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, it's Neil K., my middle initial, and then Shaw at CareYaya. And then also we are pretty active on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and all of them. It's at We Are CareYaya. So you can connect with us across all our socials. And then our podcast is The Future of Caregiving. But that's like, as I said, it's a niche podcast. If you're going through caregiving, you're right. Would love
it. And CareYaya is spelled C-A-R-E, care, Y-A-Y-A. And there's a story behind the name, but you have to reach out to Neil to find out what it is.
That you can see it on our website, careyaya.org, C-A-R-E-Y-A-Y-A.org. And then if you go to the About page, we have a detailed story about our founding and the name, meaning behind the name. So, yes.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.